Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to OPM Live, where the ordinary is the extraordinary. I am your host, Verna V. Nickelberry, and tonight on the line we have Miss Elisha Dupree, who is an author, speaker, coach, motivational speaker. And how are you today, Miss Elisha?
I am doing fantastic, Verna. How are you?
I'm doing great, and it's such an honor to have you on our show today. It's definitely an honor to have you on our show today.
Oh, no, the honor is mine. I heard about your magazine years and years ago, but you were so busy, I couldn't get in contact with you.
Well, things it's working out just fine. So if you don't mind telling our listening audience a little bit about yourself, what you have going on, about this fantastic book you've written. We want to hear all about it. So if you don't mind just sharing a little bit with us.
Okay. Well, I'm Elisha Dupree here in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm an author, speaker, and coach. And as an author, I've written two books. I actually wrote this book back in 2007, and then I did a sequel for this book just to catch up with the new time of what's going on with singles, women, and those who are waiting to be married and wondering why they haven't been married yet. So as a speaker, I do a lot of speaking on real estate forums, teaching people how to invest in real estate, as well as speaking to singles on how to choose the right mate, how to wait on the right mate, and how to wait on God's timing. So right now, Verna, what I'm doing a lot of group coaching with different people who want to find out, you know, are they close to where God has them, or is there something missing, or how can they get further towards goals? And what's even amazing, Verna, is that some of the people who I'm coaching are people who are actually already in relationships, and they just want to make their relationships better. So I'm so excited about what God is doing in that area. And what else can I say? I'm a busy bee. I have four children, four boys. I'm in ministry, so I preach a lot, women's conferences, do a lot of engagements on pastoral anniversaries, just different things that the Lord has me doing. I tell God all the time that when I die, I want to die empty. So I'm going to utilize every gift that he has given me, Verna.
That's amazing.
So that's it in a nutshell.
Now, going back where you were speaking of coaching young, I guess it's young ladies, or is it just singles, period, on how to wait on your mate?
It's actually women. They're young. They range from age 18 all the way up to 60 years old, believe it or not.
Okay.
So it's different age groups.
60-year-old? Mm-hmm. So will a 60-year-old person, would that be more like a divorcee, a widower, a widow?
Yes, a widower, a divorcee, yeah. And they're trying to get back in a single life again. And it is definitely different from, you know, if you've been married 20 or 30 years. So, yeah, they want to know how they can make their relationship better and how they can better prepare themselves when it's time for them to get married again.
Well, you know what? I have seen different articles and read different articles on older people getting married, like in their 60s and their 70s, and they're just really so excited about it. And it's I guess I could say, I don't want to say cute, but I find it amazing where you have so many young people who seem to think the institution of marriage has just completely died. But for me, when the older people are getting married and they're so excited about it, it just lets you know that it's very much alive and is still respected, even in, you know, at that age, still respected.
Yes, that is so true. That is so true.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah,
tell
I think
us about
marriage. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Vernon.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I think I did a post on Facebook one day, and I said, I think marriage is one of the greatest institutions that God created in spite of our negative experiences, because a lot of people tend to hate marriage, but it's not the marriage, it's the people in the marriage, you know. And I believe if we can make it work, if we have the tools, that's most importantly, because a lot of us don't have the tools, Verna, in order to stay engaged in marriages or knowing how to survive in marriages, because we just haven't been taught. Many of us come from homes where we didn't know how to deal with conflict resolution. We didn't know how to communicate properly. So if you don't have these important tools, then the marriage is not going to last. It's going to feel like hell on earth, and then it's going to feel like you're in a prison. And my goal, I believe, that God has given me, even as a prophetess in the ministry, is to bring the body back to alignment and understanding the purpose of two. There's power when there's two, and helping us just edify our marriages and let it exemplify what Christ did for the church. So it can work if we really want it to work, Verna.
Now, that's the key word, if you want it to work. Or should I say key words? If you want it to work. Now,
yes,
that's
ma'am.
Something. If, you know, I am going to say it just like this. If you want it to work.
I like that.
It's emphasis on that. If you want it to work. That's with any and everything. You got to actually want it and not want it half-heartedly. You got to want it wholeheartedly, that this is what you want, no matter what. I mean, when you think about how we cheer on games and other things that we're involved in, so why can't we cheer on marriage? You know,
right?
Take it in the same as, you know, just cheer it on, you know, you want it. I had a thought and it just slipped my mind so easily when we were talking about marriage. Now, going back to when you're coaching, are these mostly those that are preparing to get married? How do you kind of dive into the coaching part of it, getting them ready for marriage, getting their mind in that frame and in that mindset of being married?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Verna, because most of the people who I do coach are those who are preparing for marriage. And I believe that 50% of marriages end in divorce, 50% of all of our marriages end in divorce, and it's actually a higher statistics in the church. So when they come to me, they're coming to me actually for divorce prevention. I believe if we can catch them before they even get married and start assessing them, they've got a better chance of staying married. So some of the things that I talk about is compatibility, communication, how to become one. And one of the biggest things that I've been talking about that most women have admitted and say that they did not know is how to love a man properly. We've done so many studies, and there's many women that have bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, but we never kind of engage ourselves in understanding how to love the opposite sex. So So I won't make this about women tonight, but it can also be geared to men. We don't focus on that. We just kind of get in a relationship and kind of hope it will work. But there's a engaging, a studying, a time of preparation. Because when I look at Esther, when Esther was preparing herself for the king, I believe she was preparing her physical body, her spiritual body, but also her emotional and mental body, her natural being, preparing for that mate. She had to learn how to understand, how to have ears to hear when a man is saying something. And that's in the book too, Verna. When a man is saying something, he may not say it verbally, but he's actually communicating with you non-verbally. And you, sometimes you have to be sensitive to that. No, you don't have to read minds, but you have to be sensitive to the way the opposite sex functions. And I'll give you a good example. Many times when men become overwhelmed, most women think it has something to do with them. And they think that maybe they're not doing this enough, or maybe they're not doing, and they end up shutting down. And a lot of times when a man becomes overwhelmed, it has nothing to do with his partner. It has everything to do with how he deals with the conflict. But if we don't channel that properly, then we will probably shut down and start blaming ourselves and become an introvert at that time. And you're mad at him, and he's already mad, and that's just bringing more tension. So when you learn how to love a man properly, you'll learn how he functions. You'll learn how what makes him tick and different things like that. So when God brought that to my attention, I was like, Lord, I never saw it like that. And so that's some of the stuff that I really like to coach women preparing for marriage, how to love a man properly, how to become one. Because a lot of us think that we're marriage ready, and we're not. We're still single-minded. And we'll go into the marriage with a single mindset, but we're expecting to get a marriage result, and you won't, because your mind is set on what you've been doing for the last 30 years before you got married. Well, now you have to shift and realize that you're now in partnership, and not everything you can do and make decisions on your own. Now you need to start consulting your partner, and that goes both ways. You have to consider his agenda. You got to consider his whatever it is that he has on the horizon. Maybe he's already planned to take you out, and you already plan to be at the church, and there's a riffraff there because the communication is not there, and then we didn't to step back and consider the other person. So becoming one has a lot of dynamics to that, and I go over some of that stuff, Verna.
Oh, that's fantastic. I was listening to you, and I'm really taking it all in, because I began to think about we come from different backgrounds first, different homes, different things that happens in the home. So we're raised differently. And then when you get married, mm-hmm. you bring all of those differences together. And what mm-hmm. your mom did or what his mom did, they're not going to be the same. Your father's yes. not going to be the same. So you have to create your own lifestyle when coming yes. together and being able to mm-hmm. leave some of those things that you was brought up under, we're at home, or just, you know, don't bring them into the realm of things. I remember my oldest son was getting married, and the first thing he said to me, "Mama, you gonna be telling my wife my son don't like this and my son don't like that and my son don't eat this?" I said, "No, sir, because I don't want her to send you back to me. No, sir, I am not her. I will not be that mom. I will not be that mom at all." He was kind of surprised that I said that, I believe. But more importantly, I was surprised that he would even ask me that question. I'm like, no, why would you think that? I was very surprised that he would ask me that. I guess because we never talked about it. you know, but mm-hmm. he just wanted to be assured that I was not going to be. I'm like, no, I'm not going to be in your marriage at all. Whatever happens, you know, you guys have to learn how to work it out on your
That's
own.
That's good.
We get along fabulous, my daughter-in-law and I. We get along great because that's not my place.
That's wonderful.
To be in their marriage. Say, oh no, he don't eat this. I know he don't do that. Mm-mm, that's not my place. And it would help if most mothers, fathers think like that. I know fathers can be very protective of their daughters, but at some point you have to allow the young couple to work it out. I can see giving guidance and a little counseling, but still in the end, and as the young people say, at the end of the day, it's still between that man and that woman in their marriage.
That's true. That's true. And see, that's one of the things too, Verna, that we go into when we're assessing the single woman or assessing the single man is what are their values? And values tell you a lot about what's most important to you. For some men, their mother's opinion is very important to them. So if you don't go every Sunday over the mother's house and eat dinner, may be a problem for that man's mother. Well, you need to know up front your non-negotiables, what you can deal with and what you cannot deal with. Because once you're married, you will become a part of that family. And if there's some values that does not agree with your values, then that can be a problem. So I try to dig into some of my the people that I coach, their minds, to see what's most important to them. And when I'm assessing them, as they're talking, I already can tell where they are and what's important to them. And many times, a lot of times, the people we hook up with, things that's important to us is not important to the people who we tend to be attracted to. And that could be a major problem from the get-go. But if you assess yourself, if you know yourself, then you have a better chance of choosing someone that you want and someone who you're compatible to and someone that you can kind of, you know, you can just, they call it mesh with, someone you can mesh with. So I think that's really important, and most people really don't know what they want.
Now, Ms. Dupree, tell us a little bit about your book that you have.
Okay. Out. Yes, ma'am. Well, the name of the book is called A Wounded Woman Waiting on Her Mate. And I wrote the book because there were a lot of single books out there, but there were very little books that minister to your pain. So you have a lot of women today that are not married, and they're waiting to be married, or they have they've entered into repeated bad relationships and can't understand why. So the purpose for me writing that book was to speak to the pain and help heal some of those women so that they can be free and ready for love again, and then they can live life at their fullest extent. And I've got a chapter in there that talks about the root causes of your pain. And in my study, and I was a wounded woman, and I was a woman that went through a lot of just bad relationships, and I considered myself a good woman, but I really just didn't realize the depth of my pain. And I didn't even understand how my pain was sabotaging my current relationship. And literally, without knowing, I was taking the baggage into every relationship, but it had a different face on it. And if you don't deal with the pain, you will subconsciously take that pain into every relationship that you encounter, and not just a romantic relationship, but even a relationship between a sister and a sister, or a relationship between a mother and a daughter. It will affect every relationship you're in. You know, Bernie, you ever seen people who all of a sudden just blow up out of nowhere? They just blew up. it's been those damaged, hurt, unresolved issues that's just been seated there for so long, and it just needed an environment to really come out. And a lot of time it's that last person that push you or give you that last straw, and you just blow up. And you know what? I had a blow-up experience. And when I had a blow-up experience, I had to really sit down and look at myself and say, you know what? I can no longer blame other people for my bad relationships problems. I now need to look at myself and see, how am I contributing to this hurt? I need to stop the bleeding. I need to get healed so that I can walk into wholeness and have a whole relationship. So I stopped. I looked at my situation, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I took myself off the market. I engaged into serious prayer, and not only did I engage into prayer, I started to get to know me, because I think a lot of people are afraid to get to know themselves, and they're afraid to be alone long enough to get to know who they are. And so when I started to really sit down and know who I was, in the book, The Root Cause, I realized that I had damaged relationship with my father. My father was one of my, because the father gives you identity. I had a major issue with my father. And I was bringing a lot of childhood hurts into different relationships. And a lot of it was connected to rejection. And that rejection, when you're rejected, sometimes you self-reject yourself, and you'll push people away from you even before you get to know the people. So you sabotage your relationships, and rejection won't allow you to totally open up and be who you are, because you're always afraid that somebody else is going to reject you. So in the book, it's called The Fatherless Daughters. And it talks a lot about, you know, your father not being the intricate part of your life and how that affects you in your present as well as your adult relationships. So that's one thing about the book, Verna.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, you have a women's conference that you put on yearly?
Yes, I do. I have a women's shift conference that I put on yearly, and it's normally around this time. September 27th. So next year we'll be having it around this time, September 27th again. And I actually just got called to a single conference in Virginia earlier today. So I'm excited about that, Verna.
Now, tell us, listening audience, how they can connect with you, how they can contact you, and a little bit more about the conference on next year, how they can get involved in that.
Okay. Well, they can connect with me on Facebook. My Facebook name is Elisha Dupree, and it's www.facebook.elisha.dupree. And then you can connect with me on Instagram, _Elisha Dupree, as well as Twitter, _Elisha Dupree. And I also have a website, Verna. It's www.elishadupree.org, so you can connect with me on there. And as for the conference that's coming up next year, it'll be around September 27. I haven't seen the dates, but it'll be that Friday and that Saturday. So for those of you who want to follow me, I'll be having some information that I'll start putting up around January to prepare the women.
Now, Ms. Dupree, if someone would like to book you for a speaking engagement, is that a different website or email address, or can they book you through Facebook and Twitter and all those, or do you have something different for them?
Yes, well, I have a direct number. They can contact me at 678-789-7136, and again, that number is 678-789-7136.
Great.
Thank you so much, Verna.
We have a few minutes left, so if you just have a word that you would like to give to our listening audience, women, men, anything that you would like to share at this time, you can do it. You can do it at this time.
Okay. Well, I think one of the things, if you guys are looking for this book, you can get it on Amazon.com. So it's on Amazon.com, or you can even order it off of my website. But one of the things that I want to talk about is how most women are frustrated. And I, in the book, I talk about there are seven deadly things that most single people experience. And one of those things is impatience. So if you're out there waiting on your mate, I just want to let you know that God has somebody for you. And God is preparing you for that person. But in the meantime, while you're being prepared, spend time preparing for him. Don't let your time be wasted being frustrated, being bitter, being lonely. Enjoy yourself. Your single life is one of the most important things that you have to offer anybody right now. If you like to travel, you go ahead and travel. If you want a certain type of man, you need to prepare yourself for that type of man. If you're looking for a man in leadership, you need to be a leader, and you need to know what it is to support a man in leadership. Whatever it is that you're desiring, spend time and commit yourself to that. Like me and Verna talked about earlier, we talked about learning how to love a man. Most women don't know that, and most women don't spend time thinking about how to do it. It's not just sex. There's other ways to love a man, how to connect to a man emotionally, how to connect to a man physically, how to connect to a man spiritually. Spend time with God, because what God does is he increases your virtue. As a wife, you're going to need that virtue, because the men of God, they need a woman of virtue. What is virtue? A woman that can be able to take a licking and keep on ticking and still be able to watch over her household.
Absolutely. Well, Ms. Decree, it is definitely been a pleasure having you on OPM Live Blog Talk Radio, and we must have you back. We got to have you back.
Oh, Mark. Yes. I would love to, Verna. I would love to. I love you. Like I said, I've been following you for years.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So, again, thank you so much for being on OPM Live Blog Talk Radio, and I've definitely enjoyed the conversation.
All right. Have a wonderful evening.
Okay, thank you again. We would like to thank our sponsors, Dimashi Enterprise, Southern Eagle Music Group, Crevolution Art, and TND Marketing and Management. To advertise with us, please contact us at area code 901-308-4417, or you may email us at editor@ordinarypeoplemagazine.org. Leaving you with this coming from Proverbs 29:16 through the 18th verse, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give the light unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. This has been OPM Live, where the ordinary is the extraordinary. I am your host, Brother V. Nickelberry. And as always, love, peace, and increase, and be blessed.
We sang.